I'm going to begin this sermon by talking about a very important part of our daily life that we rarely think about. Maybe it's something we never think about. Now, when I mention this, I hope it doesn't become a problem. And by that I mean, after I say what I'm about to, I hope you won't start thinking about this all the time, because that could easily become a real burden. But here we go. My guess is that the last time you went to the supermarket and bought a 2-litre bottle of milk, you didn't get the bottle out of the fridge and think to yourself, I wonder if this is really 2 litres of milk. What if it's only 1,800 millilitres and they're ripping me off? And that thought probably didn't enter your mind, and maybe it never has. You've always assumed that if the bottle says it has 2 litres, then it's 2 litres. In the same way, you've probably never bought a kilo of flour or a kilo of sugar from the supermarket and thought to yourself, I wonder if this is really a kilo. And what about when you're putting petrol in the car? Have you ever wondered if the numbers on the petrol bowser are right? That when it says that 40 litres of unleaded have been pumped into your tank, it really is 40 litres and not 37 litres. You probably haven't wondered about that before, and now you will, and I'm really sorry. Now, weights and measures are very important. We don't think about them very often, but we depend upon them almost every day of our life. And in Australia, we have reason to have a high level of trust in what is written on the packaging of the products we buy. We have good reason to trust the devices that we use to measure things like medicines. We can trust that those devices are accurate. And that's because our government takes these matters very seriously. There is a statutory authority called the National Measurement Institute, and it develops and oversees Australia's measurement system, which covers physical, chemical, biological, legal, and trade measurement. This is the authority that makes sure petrol bowsers and supermarket scales are accurate. And they have inspectors that go and check these things. We also have various other government bodies that protect the rights of consumers, tradespeople and businesses, like the Department of Fair Trading in New South Wales. So we probably don't need to worry about whether there really are 2 litres of milk in the 2-litre bottle. Now, regulating weights and measures has been the business of governments going right back into ancient history, when it was the king or the emperor who was responsible for this. Now, people have always understood that it is necessary for commerce and for trade. There needs to be uniformity of measurement so that agricultural products can be bought and sold for mutual benefit, so that markets can operate effectively, so that money works as it's supposed to. But thinking back into ancient history, you can imagine how difficult it would have been to maintain and oversee a system of weights and measures. Without modern transport and modern communication technologies, it would have been exceedingly difficult. Now, the king or the local magistrate couldn't have one of his representatives standing at every table at the local market to make sure that the person selling the wine or the oil or the grain was using the proper measures. It would have been quite tempting for a merchant to pull out an alternative set of measuring cups and weights. Now, I'm sure it won't surprise you to learn that the Lord dealt with this issue in the law that he gave to Israel. We're going to look today at a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 25, where the Lord legislated about this. Deuteronomy chapter 25, beginning reading at verse 13. This is our text for today. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers or different weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have. that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." But to help us understand what the Lord was saying here, imagine that you were living in ancient Israel, and you had a stone that weighed 1 kilo, and it was the official authorized unit of measurement. It's what you would use when you were buying and selling. You'd put that stone on one side of the scales, and then whatever you were buying and selling on the other side of the scales. And that's how you would measure the quantity of grain or olives or figs or whatever it was. What the Lord was saying here is that you weren't to have different weights. That is, a weight that was actually heavier than 1 kilo, but that you passed off as being 1 kilo. Nor were you to have a weight that was less than 1 kilo, that you passed off as being 1 kilo. Now, why might a person do that? Well, if you're selling something, the temptation is to use the smaller weight. If people think you're selling them 1 kilo of grain, but you're only selling them 800 grams, you make more money. When you're buying something, the temptation is to use the heavier weight. The person thinks they're selling you 1 kilo of grain, when in reality they're selling you 1.5 kilos of grain. With a smaller weight, you defraud the person who is buying from you. And with the heavier weight, you defraud the person you're buying from. And the same was true for the jars or the containers that people would have used to measure volume when buying and selling olive oil or wine. That's what verse 14 is referring to. Now, if you don't quite follow all of that, the basic idea is that God's people were not to be dishonest when buying and selling. They were to have one set of weights and measures, that being whatever was the officially authorized or accepted standard. They were to be honest. They were to be fair. Thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have. We might say that there wasn't to be any funny business. Now, this commandment is repeated in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 35 and 36. The Lord said, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in metayard, that is, measures of length, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt." It's the same idea. Don't be dishonest. Don't take advantage of people by cheating them, by using dodgy scales and dodgy weights and measures. As you can probably tell, this subject fascinates me, probably because of my background in history and economics. It's very interesting to me how ancient societies worked all of this out and how they operated these systems of weights and measures that were so vital. But from a biblical perspective, what's even more interesting is how serious the Lord was about this. It's not just mentioned in the law, where you might expect it to be mentioned. We find references to this in other places in the Old Testament. And I'm going to read to you just two other verses. Listen carefully to these texts. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." I'll read it again. "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." And then listen to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10. "Diverse weights and diverse measures," this is what the Lord is talking about in Deuteronomy chapter 25, "diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike an abomination to the Lord." And what's striking about these verses is the use of the word abomination. We can see that it's taken straight from our text in Deuteronomy. You know, Solomon, writing 400 or 500 years after Moses, is echoing the sentiments found in the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 16, for all that do such things, that is, those who defraud people by using different weights and measures, and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, let's think about this for a moment. The Hebrew word translated abomination in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and in these verses in Proverbs is the word toevah. It's a word that was used in the law to refer to sins that were especially heinous. There are a couple of exceptions, but this seems to be the general idea. This word was applied to things which were particularly abhorrent to the Lord. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, it's used to refer to the kinds of practices for which the Canaanites were to be destroyed. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And here are some of the sins that the law calls toevah: incest, child sacrifice, homosexuality, bestiality, idol worship, witchcraft, necromancy. Now, we have no trouble understanding this. We can see why these sins were considered to be especially grievous. We get it. But here's the point. The Lord uses this word when it comes to dishonesty in the use of weights and measures. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike an abomination to the Lord. This kind of behavior is abhorrent to the Lord. Now, it's not a small thing to be dishonest in business. It's not a small thing to defraud people, even if it's only for a small amount. God really hates such practices. And we might think that it's just a couple of dollars here and a couple of dollars there, and hey, that person can afford it, or the government can afford it. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. It is totally offensive to God when a person takes advantage of someone else by cheating them in some way, inflating the amount on the invoice, or giving them less than they paid for, or lying in order to pump up the price and induce people to pay more. These are exactly the kinds of practices the Lord had in view when he talked about a false balance and diverse weights and measures. God wants his people to be honest and fair. This was the case in the Old Testament, as we've seen, and it's the case in the New Testament. This is what he wants for us, for Christians. Let me give you some verses addressed to New Covenant believers. You're probably familiar with all of these. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. And we are to speak the truth. And that extends to our business dealings and to our relationships with the tax office and with other bodies that have authority over our financial affairs. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 says a similar thing. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, when we are dishonest in our financial dealings, we are lying. It's deceit, and it's completely at odds with who we are in Jesus Christ. We died to the way of life that behaves that way. We've put all of that stuff off. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And we are to live honestly before others. We are to be honourable in all our dealings. If we cheat people, if we use underhanded means to make a few extra dollars or to pay a bit less, that's not honourable. That's deplorable. That's not Christian. That's satanic. Satan is a deceiver. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He takes advantage of people, and we are just like him when we do the same. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, having your conversation, that is your manner of life, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, this is what lies at the heart of this kind of behaviour. People are dishonest in their financial dealings because their heart is filled with covetousness, with greed. And what does the Holy Spirit say to us? Let your conversation be without covetousness. There is no place for greed in the heart of a Christian. And we are to be content with such things as we have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now, brothers and sisters, these are the New Testament exhortations, the New Testament applications of this principle we see way back in Deuteronomy chapter 25. God's will for his people in this area has not changed. And I think we know that. I think we're all aware of what God's word says about being honest in our financial dealings, but we're human, and that means that we're forgetful. We need to be reminded, and that's part of my responsibility as your pastor. And there is a reminder here in our text, and perhaps for some there is correction as well. Perhaps you've been tempted in this way, and you've fallen. You've been dishonest. You've been unethical or unfair in your financial dealings. Maybe you've taken advantage of someone you were doing business with. You've been like that merchant who has different weights in his bag, a great and a small. You've done wrong by someone in order to gain something for yourself. Or perhaps you haven't told the truth in order to avoid paying what you really should pay, or to avoid paying as much. Or maybe you've been underhanded in some other way so that you could make a few extra dollars or save a few extra dollars, and you try to justify your actions to yourself, but deep down you know you've been dishonest. You know the Lord Jesus would not look favourably on what you've done. Could it be that if your personal financial dealings were open for all to see, the word honourable is not the one that people would use? Instead, would they use words like questionable or unethical or even shameful? Brothers and sisters, this ought not to be true of any one of us. And if it is, if we have fallen into sin in this area, then we need to repent today. We need to come clean and perhaps even make restitution if we've defrauded others. We need to change what we're doing so that it honours the Lord instead of bringing shame to his name. We were sometimes darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. So we should walk as children of light, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. And we should walk as children of light when it comes to what we do with our money and how we make our money. We should be upright and honest when it comes to our business affairs and our investments and our property and our tax arrangements and so on. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. This couldn't be more serious. But a just weight is his delight. This is what pleases the Lord, when his people are just and righteous in this area of life. As I said, there is a reminder here for us, and perhaps a word of correction as well. There is also a word of comfort. And with this I'll finish. The comfort is found in the reason why the Lord speaks so strongly about this kind of behaviour. Why does the Lord say that divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike an abomination to him? It's because such things are so contrary to his character and to the way he deals with his creatures. God is not like this. And isn't that wonderful? He's not like this. God is not deceitful. God is not dishonest. God doesn't mislead people in order to take advantage of them. God is truthful and genuine and just. There is no bait and switch with God. He doesn't say one thing but mean another. He doesn't make promises that prove to be false. Psalm 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment or justice, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Psalm 11, verse 7. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Now, when we consider the character of God and the works of God, we see the very opposite to that greedy merchant who has different weights in his bag. That merchant uses deceit to enrich himself at the expense of others. But what did God do? He enriched others at his own expense. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. God wasn't out to make a sale. Rather, he gave us a gift, the greatest gift he could possibly give. God's son and what he accomplished by his life, death, and resurrection is ours for free. It is received by simple faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is righteous in all his ways, and he gives of himself for the sake of others, to bless them, to give them hope and joy, to make them whole forever. And we see this so clearly in the person of Jesus and in the gospel. And this is why God said what he did about weights and measures way back in Deuteronomy chapter 25. This is why such matters matter to him. Now may God comfort and strengthen our hearts through the preaching of his word. And may he give us grace to walk in his light. Amen.